Adam Buxton and
Garth Jennings, live from Glastonbury.
This is a message from the big British castle, coming live from the Glastonbury Festival. We're inside a special area with great big walls, so the weirdos and the hoolies can't get through to go to the loo.
Yeah, they tried to make me go to rehab. I said, no. There's no way I'm going.
I'm not going to that rehab.
I am not going to rehab. That is the most rubbish rehab. If it was a nicer rehab, I'd be up for it, but I'm not. Hi, this is Adam Buxton.
And hello, I'm Garth Jennings. It's still not Joe Cornish.
Still not Joe Cornish. After I went on at length last weekend about how Joe was definitely going to be back with us for Glastonbury, but Dr. Sexy didn't improve throughout the week. In fact, if anything, he got a little bit worse.
Well, the good thing is, though, by having me in, it's just making people appreciate him even more. So when he comes back next week, you'll all think, oh, there he is.
Yeah, he will be.
Because, you know, people get complacent and they get used to him, and then they take him for granted. Now they're going to remember why he's on the radio and I shouldn't be.
That's right.
Yep.
That's not true, though. Anyway, Garth, you're a genius. You're a broadcasting genius, and you're going to win several awards.
I got on a jingle. I couldn't believe we were introduced. I was on the jingle. It was great.
But no, Dr. Sexy will be back. Even if he is moments from death, he will be back next week. We'll rig up some
Scoop
kind
him
of
up and bring him
some
in.
Kind of gurney for him with a microphone attached to it, and he'll be with you.
Radio first.
But Garth and myself are in a tiny van. I mean, it's a big van, but it's a tiny little studio in the BBC van here, and we are looking out right now at the back of the Pyramid Stage at the legendary Glastonbury Festival.
It's very exciting being here, and I've never been here before, so it's doubly exciting for me.
This is Garth's first time at the festival.
I'm a voyager.
I've been here many times. Joe and I came here in 2000 and 2002 to cover the festival for BBC Three, or BBC Choice as it was then in the old days.
Choice.
And I've told this story before on our show, but if you haven't heard, listeners, we were not exactly banned officially, but it was understood that we would never be invited back.
Why?
To Glastonbury, because of something that Joe said about Rolf Harris.
Oh.
On air.
Really?
Yeah, if you'd like to know exactly what he said, you can find out on my blog.
Okay. I genuinely don't know what he said.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's bad. If I say it again,
yeah,
then
you'll be off.
We'll be electrocuted.
Okay.
Yeah. And Rolf will withdraw his services from the BBC and the castle will crumble. folks, I'm going to be guiding Garth around the festival site later on. Yesterday, we spent a very enjoyable afternoon wandering around with a tape machine and recording little observations about the site and taking it all in for the first time for Garth.
Well, we actually recorded loads of stuff, but so much of it was interrupted by people going, "Wah!"
Yeah.
Or just falling over and collapsing.
Just randomly.
But that's okay. They were nice about it.
Yeah. And we're going to tell you some stories and anecdotes about our time here as well. And
oh, yeah.
We haven't exactly worked out if we're going to do Text the Nation and if we did, what it would be. But we're going to play fast and loose because this is the festival, right? And it's all
about...
It's
got to be a bit random, a bit mucky.
It's all about improvising. We've got some good music for you. We've even got a couple of interviews. We never do interviews on this show.
We've done interviews.
But we've torn up the rule book for this Glastonbury special. And right now, here is it's an ideal opportunity to revisit the Song Wars songbook. Of course, we have to resolve last week's Song Wars. Garth and I did songs about being ill, and we'll find out which one of those you voted for.
Come on.
Within
Vote
the next
Jennings,
half hour.
People.
But right now, here is Song Wars, a track from a few weeks ago. This was when we did songs about festivals, and this was my winning song about the kind of posher end of festivals. And I would say there's parts of Glastonbury that are like this song, but on the whole, not so much. But anyway, this is my festival song. Enjoy!
Please leave a message after the tone.
Gazman, it's the Julinator. Just to let you know, I bought the tickets for Sludgefest, as well as Chillax, Wicker World, the Inoffensive Electronica Festival, Wet Weekend, and Pimps in the Park with Timbuk3 headlining. Drop us a text if you think I've missed any. Cheers, ears.
Load up the 4x4, it's festival time. We're stuffing the chill bag with nibbles and wine. We're going to sleep inside a collapsible yurt. We've got a nurse in case anybody gets hurt.
Festivals used to be awful, just Krusty's weirdo groups. There was nowhere to charge your mobile and nowhere nice for doing poops. Now they're often in stately homes with global cuisine that's ace. And you can leave the kids in a really nice crash while you get off your face.
Hip hip hooray, it's time for festival fun. We've got our
that's Keith Allen. That's Lily Allen's dad. He's been coming since the 50s, and apparently he's really mad. And over there, that's Katie Moss. That's right, that crazy druggie's ex. Let's ask her if she'll join us for a boogie and some sex. Everybody over to the advert stage. Moby's on, oh yes. Then it's Groove Armada with the theme from M&S. And then it's a bloke that I don't really know with a tune from a phone campaign. And then it's Suds with the Iceman song, then Moby's on again. We've got some chill pills, some whizwas and a grammar, some stuff. But I'm a little bit worried, that won't be enough. So could you call Jemima and ask her to bring a bit of rice, some jelly and a big ball of string. And don't forget the Barocca and the yoga mats too, because there's going to be healing and yoga to do. And there's a bloke from Tibet who can teach us to breathe. And after that we'll see Moby, then we'll probably leave. Load up the 4x4, it's festival time. We're stuffing the chill bag with nibbles and wine. We're going to sleep inside the collapsible yurt. We've got a nurse in case anybody gets hurt. Load up the 4x4, it's festival time. We're stuffing the chill.
Hey, hey, festival time here at BBC Six Music. This is Adam Buxton and Garth Jennings coming live from Glastonbury.
Good morning.
Good morning. And it's a nice morning as well. Well, I say that. It's there's no actual thunder and lightning.
That's the thing. It's a nice morning if it's not a downpour.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned Keith Allen in that song.
Yeah.
No sign of Allen at this festival so far. Anyone? You spotted Allen? He's usually here. Don't know what he's doing. He's probably, there's probably a Sherwood Forest Festival where he is.
Good work.
Oh, dear. But I did see, did you see any famous people yesterday wandering around?
No, not a sausage.
I got a smile from Katie Tunstall.
Did you really?
At least I think it was Katie Tunstall. It might have been a tiny hobbit. She's very small.
I've seen some hobbits, but I haven't seen Tunstall.
She's lovely, though. She's beautiful little hobbit. I always thought that it was the guitar that was giant. It's not. The guitar's normal-sized.
Right.
She's a hobbit.
Little tiny.
No, she's not that small. But she smiled at me, and also Alex Turner of the Arctic Monkeys.
You saw him?
Yeah, he was there with the guy from the Rascals.
I was with you all day yesterday. I didn't see any of these people.
Before you got there.
Oh, okay.
He didn't smile at me, though, but he's good-looking. Ooh. Mm. Anyway, listen, this is we're going to play you now the first of the links that we recorded yesterday when we were wandering around and I was introducing Garth to the wonderful world of Glastonbury via the BBC, and we started off in the luxurious BBC catering tent. Now, we are inside the BBC catering tent, and I'm here with Garth. What do you think, Garth?
This is amazing. I mean, this is my first time to Glastonbury, and I've always been told it's, you know, muddy and harsh and, you know, you eat a dirty little burger. And I'm in a catering tent where I've just had a Thai chicken curry and apricot crumble.
Ooh.
Very, very, very nice. And I've only just arrived, so I haven't actually seen the place yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
And, you know, this is where all the big knobs hang out, and Lauren Laverne, I don't think she would come under that category, but she's over there looking beautiful as ever with her young child and partner stroke husband. Yes, that's Lauren's child. Not Lauren Child, the author of books with very annoying typefaces and type layout for parents out there. They'll understand that. But yeah, we're having our lunch in here and then we are off to trudge around what is currently quite a muddy site. Are you well equipped, Garth?
I've got some waterproof trousers on and a hat, and but the boots are, they're not welly boots, they're walking boots, and I've got a feeling I'm not going to get very far in these.
Don't worry, man, we can buy anything out there. I mean, there is literally a shop for every single thing that you could possibly imagine out there.
Well, this is the thing, I couldn't believe it when I came in, that the first thing I saw was a cash machine and people queuing for the cash machines. It's like the leftovers of humanity. It's like like in Deep Impact, like I was telling you earlier, the end of Deep Impact and there's only a few survivors. I reckon this is what it would look like.
Amazing. It would look wicked. And Morgan Freeman would be in the middle of it, just moshing, jumping about, going, "This is so wicked. I'm having a wicked time." That's how Morgan Freeman speaks.
Yeah, it does.
Now, the problem that I'm going to have throughout the afternoon is my mic technique, because I've got a stick mic here, and I'm never very good at actually pointing it at the person who's speaking. You know, I generally end up getting confused and going the wrong way. So I'll point it at you when I'm speaking and vice versa.
Yeah.
You end up with like a long thing, blank thing.
Well, I'll get better as well at knowing when you're going to throw it at me. And I'll sort of, we'll get really good at this. I just think it's going to be amazing. People are going to hear a progression throughout the show.
It's a learning curve. The Glastonbury learning curve. Okay, so we'll check back with you later. Yay, Camper Van Beethoven and Take the Skinheads Bowling. They've got a compilation out of some of their best moments. I strongly recommend it if you're not familiar with the wonderful world of Camper Van Beethoven.
Also, that just reminds me of your wedding, because Adam actually sang that at his wedding reception.
I did, but I changed some of the lyrics to make it sort of more emotional for my wife, and I regretted doing it. I wake up sweating in the night, so I think, oh God,
I
shouldn't have done that.
I just remember thinking, wow.
Listen, I'm going to throw the door open to the
studio. Do it, let's get live.
Listen to this. That's the sound of Glastonbury out there, folks.
Which is actually the sound of a giant generator.
The sound of the BBC's generator.
Beyond it is,
I can see birds flying over. They look like seabirds picking over the corpses of some of the revelers that died.
What's great is that nothing gets wasted here, right?
No, exactly.
It's all recycled.
If a little youth dies while watching Kings of Leon, then the birds eat the youth the next morning. And so is the cycle of life here at Glastonbury Festival. That's the way it goes.
Yes.
Now, speaking of live music, of course, there was some great music here in Glastonbury. And one of the heroes of the festival, I think, thus far, I mean, it's only been one day so far, but they were, you know, one of the standout bands yesterday were the Editors.
The Editors were great.
And they really tore the place up.
It looked like they were having one of those Glastonbury moments.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's a career-making show there.
I hope so.
Vampire Weekend were fantastic as well. You missed Vampire
Weekend. I missed
that.
I was still on the train.
They're playing again today. They were brilliant. I was wandering around out there, and they were extraordinary.
They're a great band.
We're going to play some Editors for you now. This was recorded yesterday at Friday's Glastonbury Festival. First of all, here's an enjoyable trail. That was Editors playing An End Has a Start. Can you stop doing that?
Sorry, man.
With the air horn.
All right, I'm stopping.
I mean, for goodness sake. Okay. How old are you?
I'm not old enough.
You're 45.
I'm 45.
He's not 45, listeners. He's 14.
Yep.
This is Adam Buxton here with Garth Jennings.
Hello. I'm standing in for Joe because he's still poorly.
He's still poorly. He's poorly sure. But he's going to be back with us next week, I promise you. As I said before, even if he is moments from expiring, we'll drag him in and you can just hear him wheezing.
Yes.
That'll be good enough. Now, yesterday was our first full day at Glastonbury. Garth, you arrived yesterday. I arrived the day before on the Thursday.
Right.
And that was not an enjoyable journey. I mean, I have to tell you that the big British Castle stumped up for a lovely first-class ticket for me on the train.
Nice.
And that bit was wicked.
Yeah, because I had that yesterday.
That was great. Because I got on the train finally after queuing for about an hour at Paddington with a lot of young people, and I was feeling quite old and out of place. And finally got on the train, and it was like a train to an internment camp. It was frightening, and it was like the world was ending and we were all being evacuated. As you said, deep impact. It was
a lot of that about it, don't you think?
It was like the under 40s, all the wastrels who'd been picked to go in the...
You're the chosen ones. Now
exactly.
Get to Glastonbury. You'll be safe there.
And I just scraped in there, just under 40. Hooray! I'm on the train to the castle under the rocks. But I got on the train and it was absolutely rammed, but I found a couple of seats free, right? So I jump in a seat and I'm thinking, brilliant. So I do my trick of sticking my rucksack next to me on the other free seat.
Wow, no one's done that trick before.
It's genius. It's a genius trick that I invented. And then I...
And you try and look big as well?
No, I pretended to be asleep. leaned my head there and, made myself look as grotesque as possible.
Absolutely.
So that you wouldn't want to wake this guy up to ask for the seat, right? And it was all going well and the train started moving and I was like, yes, I've done it. No one sat next to me. I'm the king. And at that point, this girl comes up, taps me on the shoulder. Excuse me, do you think, could you possibly move to the seat over there next to that man so me and my friend can sit together? And I looked over at the seat she was pointing at, and the bloke in the other seat was just this giant, tool bag.
Okay.
And he was talking louder than anyone in the whole train to the people in front of him.
Maybe he was trying to do what you were doing.
I don't know. Well, it was working.
Yeah.
And he had successfully repelled absolutely everybody else, but he was spread all over that both seats, and I just thought, no, there's no way I can go and sit next to him. I'm really tired. I want
to
go to
sleep.
What
did you say to him?
I just said no. I'm sorry.
You did say no.
I can't. I'm sorry. First of all, I said, have you looked everywhere else?
You're awful.
I know. Jeez. And I just thought, this is the worst thing I've ever done. And she just went, oh, right, okay. And she went off. And so then I went, I pretended to be asleep a little bit more, and her friend sort of sat down next to me.
The shame.
I know. I thought, this is no good. I'm not enjoying myself. I can't go to sleep. So I just said, you know what? Okay, you can sit next to your friend, okay? And I just wandered off. But then I found my first class seat. I didn't realize I could sit
there.
You're
insane. I went straight to my first class seat.
Well, because I missed my train.
I didn't think my seat was valid. Leave a newspaper on your seat ready for you. It was lovely.
I didn't get that. So we finally arrived. And it was great, and we'll tell you more about what happened when we arrived, because the scene at the other end at Castle Carey was even more extraordinary than before. But right now, Judy, we're going to have another little listen to our journey yesterday.
Yeah.
So this is when we actually got out into the site proper, me and Garth. This is our journey. Right, now we are here in the sort of main drag that runs from the pyramid stage at Glastonbury. It's a sort of muddy thoroughfare lined with shops and stalls that runs through to our destination, which is the Stone Circle at the other end of the site.
Is that where we're going now, the Stone Circle?
We're going to head towards the Stone Circle and take a look at some of the fun things on the way.
Is there some druid action up on the stone?
There's druids, there's ladies. I mean, it's very muddy now, so there'll be filthy ladies.
Filthy?
Yeah.
Druid ladies.
That's right, it's the best kind of lady. And along the way, Garth, I'm going to be telling you some amazing Glastonbury facts.
I like that. Thanks, Dad.
Because you've never been before, right?
No, this is it. It's my first time. I've only been here for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's great.
First impressions?
Everyone's very happy. I just thought it would be a bit more sour-faced for some reason.
Nah.
Look at everyone's having a great time.
They don't mind the mud.
They love it.
At the moment, it's not raining too hard. It's sort of drizzling.
That's fine.
It's a light dribble.
And it's funny how this would annoy me in London.
Yeah.
But out here, no one else cares, and you suddenly don't care yourself.
It's not a problem.
Not a problem.
Not a big problem. What's the problem? Get out of my face.
And you haven't had a drink yet or anything, have you?
No.
No, neither have I. I mean, we're working for the Big British Castle. If we did ingest any alcohol, I hope you know that we would be electrocuted.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm holding on to this rubber boot.
Yeah, because when you come in, when you're with the Big British Castle covering Glastonbury, they put a little chip in your brain.
That's what that was.
In your mind, yes. Yeah. And if you have any alcohol, if you swear, and if you think impure thoughts, they kill you. It seems extreme, doesn't it? Especially at a big free festival. But that's what they have to do to maintain the standards.
It's like Disney World. It's always
castle.
a sinister undercurrent.
Exactly.
I'm sure I've said something wrong by saying that, but anyway.
Yes, other theme parks have sinister undercurrents as well.
Yes.
So, what do you reckon? Are you tempted by any of these stalls?
I don't know where to start. What's that?
Toilets.
Toilets, where are the toilets? That's a good question.
It's a gentleman asking for the toilets. But my friend, we're standing in one of the world's biggest toilets. You can go anywhere you want.
Is it a clean toilet?
A clean toilet? I would say no. What do you reckon? Surely not. Glastonbury's not famous for the cleanliness of its toilets. What about nipping behind a tree?
It is compared to tea in the park.
Is this better than tea in the park?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Cleaner.
This is the mother of all festivals.
Excellent. Well, listen, good luck. Hey, maybe a good place to find a toilet would be the WC Fields. <You didn't. laughs> Anyway, listen, man, have a good day. Take care.
Bye.
Good luck with your wee-wee expedition.
They were insane.
That's the first of a number of jokes I'll be making about the Fields.
They were really, really insane.
They were relatively together, I thought.
Yeah.
We're going to meet some madder people than that, Garth, let me tell you.
Let's head to the Druid Field.
We'll be back with you in a bit, but now, here's some music. That's the Mighty Ben Folds 5 playing Kate. They were on the other stage yesterday, Friday, at Glastonbury, where we are coming live. This is the BBC 6 Music, and now it's time for the news read by Harvey Cook.
Oh, yes. It certainly is all right.
That was Edward Collins with A Girl Like You.
You just turned into a DJ right there in front
of me. All right. Turned into fluff for a second there.
This is Adam Buxton here with Garth Jennings, who's filling in for Joe, who's still ill. We should have played that Smiths track, shouldn't we? But that's a missed opportunity. It's one of life's great missed opportunities. Now, we were saying before that we had a slightly torturous journey to Glastonbury. After the luxury of the train, we arrived at Castle Carey, a.k.a. Castle Scary, which is the station that everyone arrives to if they're coming to Glastonbury. Or you can get off at Westbury, if you choose. But Castle Carey is where you go if you're getting on the coaches, right? If you've got your ticket, it's a kind of a package deal. You go to Castle Carey, you get off the train, and you wait for the coach. Normally, it would be very smooth. Oh, it wasn't the other day, though, because there was a fire just outside the Glastonbury Festival site. So the whole place was just backed up. There were trains bringing people in, but there was no one moving out of the train station. So they were just jammed up there in massive queues. It looked like the end of the world. Have you seen Children of Men?
Yes.
It was very much like that.
Like that?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Brilliant film, if you haven't seen it, by the
it
way.
It is.
And it was like a cross between Children of Men, Schindler's List, and The Hills Have Eyes.
Ooh.
It was just
cheerful combo.
It was appalling. It was like the world had ended. Or was in the process
of
ending.
Was it just you who felt this way, or was everyone else loving it? Was it all part of the Blitz spirit, you know, the kind of Glastonbury way, we're all having a...
No. No, okay. there was no sing-alongs and cheery whoops of joy.
Okay.
Everyone was pretty annoyed, I would say. Okay. I mean, you know, it was nobody's fault exactly, but it wasn't enjoyable. So I went and I stood by the temporary car park to wait for my BBC buddies to come and pick me up. Of course, they were caught up in the traffic as well, so I had to stand there for quite a while, like a couple of hours or whatever, hour and a half. And I was accosted by this scary Hills Have Eyes style man who was just in a really beaten up camper van with him and his scraggly looking mates.
Did he offer you a lift?
No, he just sort of he came over with his plate of pasta that he just cooked on his weird fire, and he came over and said, I've been watching you. Why don't you come and join us? Come and join us. My name's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He did not say that.
Yeah, he did.
I
said, brilliant, Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's great. It's good stuff. No, I'm fine. I'm going to stand here. I'm just waiting for my friend. Oh, you're going to stand there, are you? You're not going to come over and join us? Right. Narrow people. Narrow people. And then he went off, swaggering off, going, narrow people! Narrow people! Narrow people! And then these girls came along, and they caught his eye. And he's like, oh, ladies, come and join us. Come and join us. I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi. Come and join us. Sit down. And they were like, no, thank you. We're not insane. And so then he went, ah, yes, narrow people. Dripping in Prada. Dripping in Prada. That was his catchphrases. Three catchphrases. I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi, dripping in Prada, and narrow people.
Those are great catchphrases.
They're burned into my brain now. 2 hours of fear that it was all going to turn nasty with Obi-Wan Kenobi. Anyway... More of our Glastonbury stories coming up shortly. We're going to reveal the result of last week's Song Wars after this next track. And this is the Hold Steady. And they're kind of exactly what festivals are all about, aren't they? Loud rock and roll, good time, Bruce Springsteen-style fun. And this is Sequestered in Memphis. Sequestered in Memphis. It's all about Peanut in Memphis.
Yeah.
And
a question in Memphis.
Exactly. So Peanut in Memphis. It's a question of, well, whatever.
Hey, give it up, baby.
Sun's coming out. Shaken Stevens is going to be on stage here at Glastonbury in about 15 minutes.
Do you want me to pop out and have a look at him and see how he's going? I could always report back.
Go and give him a shove. Yeah. Wake him up. He's going to be rocking the pyramid stage shortly. I don't think we're planning on bringing you any live coverage of Shaky, but...
No, I'll just tell you how it's going.
Yeah. But listen, right now, it's time to resolve Song Wars from last week. Yeah. Garth and I both created original songs about being ill, various different types of illnesses. You did one about having hay fever.
Yep, because I have hay fever and I hate it.
How's it going at the
Institute? It's been brilliant here.
Oh, good.
Not a bit at all.
It's all the rain.
Yeah.
Just keeps the pollen down.
It does.
It? It's genius. And I did one about just having a cold, which I'm glad to say is all cleared up now. But Garth's song was like a little bit too good for my liking. It was ludicrous. And
That's very nice of you.
I feel a little bit insecure about it now, because if you win, it's going to make me look bad and it's annoying. But first we're going to do the jingle. We're going to do a live jingle, because this is Glastonbury.
You've got to do it live.
We've got a little country backing for you, and we're going to do a live Song Wars jingle. How are you feeling about this, girl?
Quite nervous, actually,
okay.
Ad.
Okay, here we go.
Let's go.
Song Wars! Song Wars! Now the time has come for the Song Wars!
Adam.
Two songs, one subject. Can you fellas tell us which you like best?
Nice.
Oh, dear, stripped out my
throat. The crowds are going mental out there. They love it.
Right, now, here is the...
Why did you make me do that?
That's for Obi-Wan Kenobi out there. Here
Narrow
is the
people.
Result. Narrow people dripping in Prada. Okay. and oh my lord, I've been massacred by
really?
Garth Jennings.
Wow. 25%. I've won by 75%.
Garth wins by 75%.
Take my pain.
You know, it's not enough that Cornish regularly busts my ass. You have to come in and humiliate me as well.
Well, I didn't mean to hurt you, but I'm delighted to have won.
Yeah, well.
And, it's a proud moment for me.
I thought you were going to go into jealous guy there for a second.
What do you mean? I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm sorry that I made you cry. Yeah. Well, thank you for voting for me, whoever you are.
How are we doing there, Judah? We got some technicals. A couple of technicals with Garth's track.
Oh, it's so good though.
Well, don't worry. If we can't hear your track immediately, then we'll play it shortly.
That's all right.
And we'll play some other.
People are still recovering from our live jingle.
Investigate your trip to the jazz.
Okay. Yes. Before we hear Garth's winning song. Which is ludicrous. As I'm saying it, I can't believe that it's actually happened. I'd be beaten at Song Wars by an interloper. But yes, before we hear Garth's winning song, let's hear another little excerpt from our trip around the Glastonbury Festival site yesterday. How are we doing? We're in the jazz world.
It's nice in the jazz world.
This is the world of jazz. The common language here. It's jazz. You can speak scat if you want to. Scoobabadoobab. That's the kind of thing you have to say if you want to buy anything in jazz world.
Can I have a couple of double-a-dibble-a-dow-dow-dow beers, please? Yeah.
Scooby-doo wap ba ba ba. Could I please have a Scooby-doo poo poo poo? That means, could I have Scooby-Doo and do a poo?
Yes.
Basically, Scooby-Doo is like the god of jazz world. And if you are Scooby-Doo and you want to do a poo, then you have to go to the jazz world in order to make that happen. Scooby-Doo, want to do a poo? Anyway.
So those mushrooms are kicking in, my lovely.
We're in jazz world. And it's nice here. It's really a good atmosphere, isn't it?
It's really mellow.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling, though, you know when you come somewhere and you think, this is nice, this is really nice, I think it could turn dark later in jazz world.
You reckon?
Yeah, it feels like it's at the moment, it's a very friendly place. Everyone smiles at each other. I think it could turn dark here, just like jazz. It could turn on you.
Well, exactly. Go on Miles Davis all over your ass.
Yeah.
It could be, yes, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, it's 4:30 now here in jazz world. The rain has let up a little bit, and there's a lot of people with children here. I'm always amazed by people who bring their very young children to a festival.
Yeah, babies. There's lots of babies.
Mothers pushing prams around. Last night when we got here, and it was absolutely torrential, the rain was really sheeting down, but there was people pushing around their prams.
Yeah.
With the little babies there, what are they getting out of this?
Yeah, I don't know. And then you have to put the ear defenders on them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Health and safety. For goodness sake, otherwise social services will be around.
I don't know. You see, the trouble is, I don't know how you get a kid to sleep out here.
No.
Our children are pretty, they sleep through police sirens and things like that, but I don't know if they'd make it through the jazz world tent.
No. I mean, it beggars belief. Would you bring your children to Glastonbury?
I don't know yet. I've only been through these first few bits.
Right.
We just saw a great big robotic dinosaur drive past.
Yes.
That alone would have been worth the trip for my lot.
Yeah.
That really was impressive.
And there was a man as well. He had constructed like a big tractor, but he put like an engine on it from a plane or something like that.
It was very much like Mad Max.
Exactly. It is like, I mean, it's all like Mad Max, isn't it? You expect to see Tina Turner wandering through.
Yep.
Squalling, wailing, squawking. But anyway, listen, we're on a mission to find a lovely hippie tea room, so let's continue.
Let's go.
Hello, it's Garth speaking. That's Humphrey Littleton playing Bad Penny Blues. I'm going to dedicate that to my mum who's listening, and she loves that record.
So that sounded like Lady Madonna by the Beatles.
I think that was a big influence on Lady Madonna.
Oh, it's all
fitting together. I think it's quite
well
known, actually.
Is it?
You're the only guy that... Everyone out there in Glastonbury...
I didn't get the memo.
You didn't get that memo?
From the late, great Humph. There you go. Now, marvellous. Listen, we had a problem before that with the CD that we had Garth's winning Hay Fever song on.
Have you tried to sabotage it in some way now?
It was covered
in
mud.
Bitter, aren't you?
I wiped a large amount of mud on it just in case you won. And it worked. But unfortunately, the Big British Castle is such a technical powerhouse that we are linking up with London now, our studio in London, in Great Portland Street, and they are going to play Garth's winning Hay Fever song right now. Ready, London?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. to all the ladies. Not a bit. Having problems with the allergies today.
Was it my wife?
Wasn't me, you idiot.
But all at once I knew the score. This has happened lots before. It's not someone, it's my allergy. Making me sneeze, making me wheeze. I got a fever. I hate a fever. Ruining my summer. Serious bummer. If you got a fever. It doesn't put me to sleep,
even though sleeping is nice.
I use so many tissues, it is obscene. There's a constant stream of liquid green. As the pollen count goes up, I know I've run out of luck. And what's in store is just more misery.
Song Hay Fever. Thank you, voting people, for making me the winner.
5%
in your face, Adam Buxton.
What a pasting. Anyway, there you go. We are here live from Glastonbury. We're going to play you a short trail, and after that we're going to hear some exciting Get Cape, Wear Cape, Fly. But I just want to tell you very quickly before we go to that, that we've got photographs of our trip that will illustrate certain of our links. You can go to bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury/2008/6music. Do you get all that? If you go to the 6 Music website, yeah, you'll be able to navigate to there and find some photographs of our time here at Glastonbury thus far. But right now, trail, and then Get Cape, Wear Cape, Fly.
BBC 6 Music.
Health and safety, I've got a little yellow coat on. Don't do nothing stupid or you'll be ejected.
Oh, it's exhausting. Absolutely exhausted. That was Pigeon Detectives with Take Her Out, Take Her Back, Take Her Down.
Take Her Back.
Take Her Back.
Put that outside.
Put her outside. Pop her out. Pop your top off.
Get that thing away from me.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, this is Adam and Garth.
Hello.
Here at Glastonbury. Joe is still ill, I'm sorry to say, but I got a text from him the other day. Actually, I didn't get a text. He didn't text me. He just ignores me. But I saw Lauren Laverne got a text from him, and apparently he's shaping up nicely, so he should be back with us next weekend at the Big British, yep, Castle.
I'll be gone.
Shaking Steve, we got the door to our studio, our little teeny weeny studio here open.
The tractor bringing Shaky is going past right now.
Here he is, yeah. And we've got the, we're in the Big British Castle compound, all the generators are out there, and we can see the back of the Pyramid Stage, which is the big main stage here at Glastonbury, where all the big acts perform. And yes, Shaking Stevens is going to be the first act of today. Out there, and well, very shortly, I
yeah,
think.
But don't worry, we're not actually going to bring this recording.
We're not going to play any Shaky whatsoever, okay? So don't worry about it, it's absolutely fine. And I'm just joking, if you're a big Shaking Stevens fan, I don't want to fight with a Shaking Stevens fan, because I think maybe the Shaking Stevens fans would be a little more tasty than the Aha fans, right?
Right, that's true.
Who I've previously got in a ruck with on this program.
Well,
before.
I'll go out and have a look when he's on, and I'll report back and, yeah, tell you what it looks like.
I just bumped into Sam Delaney, very enjoyable broadcaster. I think he's doing a show for Five Live or someone like that. And he told me they just interviewed Shaky, and he was quite frightening.
He was frightening.
Shaky was frightening.
Really?
And he didn't enjoy their interviewing style. And on the way out, Shaky said, "You're a bunch of clowns."
Bunch of clowns?
Bunch of clowns.
Wow.
Shaky. Because he's an old rock and rolling man.
Yeah.
And he could definitely dust you right up as he sang to you. There's a green door and at the green door.
I tell you what's behind the green door, son. A pasting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is pure conjecture. I'm sure Shaky's a lovely gentleman.
Never hurt anyone.
No, exactly. And I also just bumped into the Young Knives.
I know.
Out there.
I saw them out there.
Around.
But you see, they recognise you. They walked right past me.
Oh, that was
amazing. I wanted to say hello.
They're brilliant, man.
Yeah, they are brilliant.
But right now, we're going to play you some music. And very shortly, we are going to play you the results of our time that we spent with Robin Hitchcock yesterday. We're big fans of Robin on this program. And he came in and played a couple of songs for us and had a little bit of a chat before wandering off to play his set. That's coming up shortly. But first, here's Dizzy Rascal.
Well, I can look at you, looking at me. I'm out on a date.
Okay, I'm joined by Robin Hitchcock and his Glastonbury band tonight. Who are? Could you introduce them for us, Robin?
Well, we're down to about 45% of us. It's the band I'm working with is the Psychedelic Trams. So we have Terry Edwards and Colin Izod, the horn section, have made it. Kimberly Rue, the other guitarist, hasn't. Nor is Morris Windsor, the drummer. Paul Noble, the bass player, is here but is unable to connect. Something that very seldom happens to bass players. So he's in the doorway, really.
And the others have been frightened off. Are they actually on site? Or?
We're hoping that, yeah, I know they were very, very close when I last spoke to Morris, so hopefully we'll all be there to do the gig.
Well, I saw you getting out of the car when you arrived at the BBC compound, and you all looked quite alarmed, because you're dapper and you are clean as well. There's not a speck of mud on you.
Well, I'm a slave to love.
Are you going to the... that means presumably you'll be in the Avalon Field later on with all the other late-period Roxy music.
Sadly, no. I think we're going to host our own little intimate reception after our gig and then probably motor back to town.
Good one. And I'm going to introduce you on stage later on. Is that right? Do you still want me to do that?
Please, yeah, yeah, if you could.
What kind of stuff? Do you want an embarrassing introduction or a very awkward one? I do both.
Well, your style, it sort of veers between being, you know, intensely polite and quite almost insulting, you know. So I think you'll just do what works.
Yeah.
You'll know.
And you want it less than half an hour or more than half an hour of me?
The gig or your introduction?
My introduction.
Well, I think you can go on as long as you like, but we have to play at the same time, so we might be overlapping.
Fair enough.
But we can just give you a channel and you can go through it.
Speaking of which, why don't we hear some music now? What are you going to play for us?
This is the Museum of Sex.
Ooh, that's my favourite museum.
You know, you're in there.
Hey!
Yeah, that was great.
Robin Hitchcock and the Psychedelic Trams. Well, some of them. Thank you very much indeed, Robin.
Oh, and you survived the onslaught from the pyramid stage, just kicking in halfway through.
That was the
same
sound.
Same way that the humble shrew and the mouse survived, and possibly even the gopher, survived the Ice Age.
That's it.
Well,
exactly
along,
the same
Ice
survival.
Age a long time ago, yeah.
It just kept rocking.
And yeah, they just kept rocking, but in a very, very small way.
That's all documented in the film Ice Age, I believe. And Ice
it
Age
is.
2.
Ice Age 2, the rocking shrew.
There's a whole scene with them having to deal with the Fratellis that was cut out
that's
of the final
great, though.
Film.
Are the Fratellis really brothers? Because that's what it means in Italian, doesn't it?
The Fratellis.
The Fratellis.
Si. It does. It does mean that. I don't think they are.
I think they're brothers in stupidity. that's the only bond they have.
That's a deep
I mean that in a nice
thing.
Way.
Yeah.
You know, they're the kind of stupid guys you'd like to hang out with, rather than the ones that you fear. We are here with Robin Hitchcock and some of the Psychedelic Trams, who are playing in... Whereabouts are you playing?
In the Shangri-La tent.
In the Shangri-La? Yeah. Where is the Shangri-La tent?
I don't know. We're hoping to find out.
That would be amazing if you found Shangri-La and played a gig there. That would be the best day of your life, surely.
Well, it would, especially if we found Morris and Kimberly, with whom we are also playing, supposedly. And indeed you.
What are you going to play for us now?
Now we're going to attempt to play Ole Tarantula.
Hey! Wow,
very good.
Yep.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed, Robin. Thank you, chaps. Terry, thank you so much. Colin, thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you in action tonight. How long do you play for at a gig like this?
Depends how long the introduction is.
5 minutes, then.
I don't know. You know, in real time, probably only about 50 minutes. But that's, you know, longer than an LP should be.
Right.
If a CD gets to 50 minutes, that's really more than you need.
That's true, isn't it?
With today's attention span.
Classic length of CD for you, would you say?
A classic length of record for me is 38 minutes.
I agree with you.
You know,
I
Revolver,
totally agree.
Avalon,
Green
by Doors REM,
album
the
can't
first
be
Doors.
Much be, more than
less.
30 minutes, yeah. The Strokes, is this it? It's less than 30 minutes, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. All the best ones. 32, says Jude.
32, wow.
That's all you need. And it's like raw power. How long is that?
Yeah, it's 33 or something.
That's all you need, okay? I mean, if you're going any longer than that, it's a grotesque waste of resources and attention. And also, I would say in film terms, anything more than an hour and a half.
90 minutes, golden rule.
That's the maximum length that anyone can
take. Unless you've made Lawrence of Arabia.
That's true.
Or The Big Sleep.
That'll do it. But there's, you know.
But the chances of doing that statistically are very small.
It's so true.
Robin, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Have
thanks,
a good
Adam.
Game, man. Thank
thanks, Garth.
Vampire Weekend.
They sounded fantastic.
And in many ways, this is Vampire Weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Weekend of the Vampires. They're one of the kings of Glastonbury. That's just from one day. I mean, who knows what's going to happen today? Tonight, today's Jay-Z day, though, isn't it?
It's Jay-Z night.
I think it's Jay-Z
that's
night.
I just think that's going to be brilliant. I wish I was here for that. I just want to hear him do 99 Problems.
Yes.
That's such a brilliant track.
But Steve Lamacq, I was chatting to Steve yesterday in the BBC compound.
And so many famous
me and Lamo. Out. I got finished with Zane Lowe. Finished with Zane and then I moved on to Steve. Chatting to Zane for a little bit and then I thought, there's Lamo. I'm going to chat to Lamo. Hello, I'll say, see you later, Zane. I said, oh, there's Lauren Laverne over there. I'll chat with you later, Lauren. I'm just talking to Steve Lamacq. And then I'll come over and chat to you, Lauren Laverne. Okay?
That's how it went.
You just rack them up, don't you?
But Steve was saying that the Vampire Weekend, they had the biggest crowd at the other stage, which is like the other big, you got the pyramid stage where all the massive heavy hitters play, and then you got the other stage where the kind of indie massive heavy
next
hitters.
Next year's pyramid stage people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Vampire Weekend pulled the biggest crowd that Lamo's ever seen there. It was fantastic. But right now, here is another little nugget from our wanderings yesterday. This is me and Garth wondering about the Glastonbury Festival site yesterday. We're here in the green fields and we're standing next to the Guarana Company, their natural herb stimulant tent. And I'm amazed that Guarana is still going. Are people still favouring that as a stimulant?
Stimulants are all the rage, right? It's like all those drinks to give you energy.
Right. What's your favourite stimulant?
I don't actually like them at all. I don't like the fizzy ones. I like a nice strong cup of coffee.
You like a nice strong
cup. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. I like my
caffeine.
I like it muddy.
Ooh.
Not fizzy.
Mm. So you're not going to go and get a Guarana smoothie or whatever they're offering there?
No, look at the state of them. They're tripping off their faces.
They do look quite Australian.
They look... very Australian.
Extremely Australian looking. As we get closer to the Stone Circle, the predominance of ladies who look as if they were once in Hazy Fantasy increases. And
yes,
to me, that's a good thing.
That's a great thing. It's a very much a... You know, we were talking about the Mighty Boosh look earlier.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a Ting Ting's look.
Ting Ting.
Guys wearing plastic shades that look like they've been stolen from a petrol station.
That looks a bit like Hot Chip as well, I associate that look with.
Yeah, everyone's...
what's his name? Brains. Is it? No, not Brains, but Parker. Who's the guy, the boffin in Thunderbirds?
I think it's Brains.
Is it Brains? Yeah.
Parker's the driver in Thunderbirds.
Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's all looking good. Let's continue. We still haven't found a place for Garth to have a delicious coffee, and I'm sure we'll crack it somewhere around here in the green fields. Let's continue our mission.
Let's keep going.
So, for the time being, here's some more great music. That was Panic at the Disco with Don't Panic, Mr. Mannering. And that's just something they've stolen from the Brits, isn't it? They're American people, Panic at the Disco. I always think of them as being called Panici at the Disco as well, because they've got the exclamation mark after the word panic, which to me looks like another eye. Panici at the Disco? Well, it's just like someone with a kind of ciabatta in there or something, just having a little munch in the middle of the floor. That's what I always think of when I hear that band, someone having a little munch in the middle of the floor. It sounds kind of revolting. So I thought I'd repeat it. Now, I'm very pleased to say that we've been joined by the Young Knives. They were wandering around outside, so I went out there and kind of grinned at them girlishly and admitted to them that I'm a very big fan, and so's Garth, in fact. And we got them in here, and they're going to play a track for us. How are you doing, guys?
Good.
You played last night, is that correct?
Yes, we played Q Stage and John Peel, and it was brilliant.
Excellent.
Fun.
So two sets you did?
So far.
Wow, are you going to do another one today?
Yeah, we're just here. We're just touring ourselves to the entire festival.
Yeah.
Like everyone is, I think.
Quite right. And you're very clean, because you're always a dapper unit, you know? You're always well turned out. You have your suits and your ties. It's a business, you know? It's a business.
We have cards. We hand that to people.
Let me introduce you to our listeners. Henry is on guitar.
Hello.
House of Lords.
That was funky.
Tom, a.k.a. House of Lords, is on bass and vocals. You're all on vocals, really. You're a vocal powerhouse. And Ollie is here on drums and bongos. How are you doing? Now, what are you going to play for us, chaps?
Well, we're going to do an acoustic version of Turntail, our smash 150 top single.
Yeah, I mean, that is a lovely song. I can't believe... I'm not connected in any meaningful way with the charts.
Me neither.
Because I'm too old. Yeah. So I didn't even realise it had been out as a single. It doesn't surprise me, though. It was one of my favourite tracks from your fantastic album, Superabundance. Now, we're closing the door to the studio because I believe Shaken Stevens!
Stevens! Just coming! Sorry, I like that joke.
Stevens! Behind the green door. Where is he? So he's just about to come on stage, Shaken Stevens! But right now, here live for you from BBC Six Music are the Young Knives with Turntail. That was great.
You snapped a string.
But you didn't
keep
it going.
I had to rearrange the solo. It sounded like a banjo solo.
Nicely rearranged, though, on the spot. And it was quite good. It sort of fits in a way with the Young Knives sound.
Thanks, man.
You know what I mean? That completely worked. What's that song about? Do you like, I imagine like most bands, you don't really like being asked. It's like asking an artist.
Most bands, there aren't really any really good reasons behind it. No.
But that sounds like a sort of all kinds of issues in there. It's overtly political and ecological and apocalyptic and, I mean...
You said it.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that film Armistad? Yes, it's based on that.
It's based on that. As I suspected, I turned to my wife the other day in the car and said, "No, darling, I'm pretty sure this is about Armistad." She said, "I bet you're right," and I'm glad to find out that I was. Is Stevens out on the stage yet?
Hang on, let's open the door.
No, he's not there. Oh, he's got to be out there any second, though, surely. But listen, Young Knives, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
That was lovely. That was great. As Jonathan Ross says, what a lovely sound you guys have.
Thanks very much.
Lovely sound.
Great voices.
Yeah. Thank you very much, and have a great day. Enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you.
This is BBC Six Music, live from the Glastonbury Festival. Now, that was Cheeky Cheeky and the Nosebleeds. And they're a real band. We didn't just make that up. That was called Slow Kids, and they were headlining at the introducing stage. They've got all kinds of crazy stages and all kinds of crazy fields, as we discovered yesterday when we were on our wonder. And then this is, broadly speaking, one of my made-up Glastonbury fact sections. And I even have a jingle for these sections, Glastonbury Facts. Let's play the jingle, Jude.
Prepare to receive Glastonbury Fact. Here it comes now.
There you go.
That's another brilliant jingle.
It's another brilliant jingle.
That's we should make another jingle for your jingles.
That's a good idea.
Here comes another brilliant jingle.
Some people hate jingles. Some people, I guess the thing with jingles is like funny phrases. You start off doing them ironically as a parody of how annoying jingles can be.
And then you get shingles.
And then you get shingles. And then you turn into a jingle guy who just does a lot of jingles and you're back to square one.
Oh, man.
But there you go. So let's see how we got on again yesterday. It's another little nugget from our wonders. Yes, time for another Glastonbury fact here. This is for you mainly, Garth.
Right.
Because you've never been here before.
No, I'm new here.
But as you now understand, the whole site is divided up into various different fields.
Right.
It's got the green fields and the healing fields, the Avalon fields, mm-hmm. Which is where all the Roxy Music fans, late period Roxy Music fans,
that's good.
Hang
I wondered
out.
Where they were.
Yeah, they're all there. They're having cocktails.
That's nice.
And they're going, that's what they do. When you get close to the Avalon fields, you start hearing, and the chink of martini glasses. And I believe somewhere there are they're killing fields as well. And they're run by a guy called Paul Pothead. And that's where they take the bands when they do badly.
Yeah.
They take them to the killing fields and they execute them.
Yeah, that I think that might have just happened to the feeling.
Yeah, the feeling of being escorted there now by Paul Pothead.
Take them to the killing fields.
And he's going to execute the feeling. And unless Sophie Ellis-Bextor pleads successfully for clemency, in which case they might survive.
And we've been hanging out too long by the stone circle, man.
We might see them later on at the Avalon field, presided over by late period Brian Ferry, of course. Where should we go now?
Oh, we need another field to go to. I tell you what, though, I like this one, though, just because you're at the top and you can see everything.
Yeah. Makes it, perhaps this is the field of expertise. I've got to get out before I carry on making...
You just want to get out of your system right now.
WC Fields, that's where people go for a wee.
That's good.
Gracie Fields,
that's where people go to sing songs about the war.
Well, you could also have a place where you get your eyes tested, and that could just be the field of vision.
Nice.
See, I'm working with you here.
You're totally on top of it.
Come on.
You know, it's almost six. We haven't even had a drink. We're thinking of fantastic new fields. We're indestructible. And meanwhile, there's bodies everywhere. I mean, there are just bodies as far as you can see. They're all like crawling.
Screaming.
Somebody has put something in the Heineken. It's bad Heineken. We'll be back with you shortly. Right now, here's some more great music. A little free play for you there, listeners. I chose that one for you. That was The Little Ones.
I thought that was terrific.
With Morning Tide.
That's a perfect record.
I mean, that's a smash.
It's got hooky, catchy bits, yeah, and a proper chorus that takes you flying.
The album comes out sometime in July, and I got sent that by their PR people and enjoyed it hugely. I mean, that is a smash. It's such a great feeling when you listen to a whole album and you think, oh, this is good, and then it just gets better and better, and you just think that, oh, brilliant.
Total contrast to that, Shakin' Stevens has just kicked off on
Stevens!
The he's on the main.
Shut up, Stevens!
Listen to it. What's he singing there?
What is that?
Oh, he's doing some of his new ones.
The crowd have gone back to their tents.
Imagine, I mean, it's only, what is it? It's still fairly early. At 11, that's fair enough, isn't it? It's time to get up.
Well, I don't know about that.
But imagine being woken up by Shaky. Oh, my lordy. Hey, this is Adam Buxton and...
our Garth Jennings, standing in for Joe Cornish, who's got the shingles.
And it's our great pleasure to be here at the Glastonbury Festival live for BBC Six Music. We've got another hour here with you guys, so stick with us. Right now, a little bit of a jingle, bit of a trail, and then some more great music. Yeah, is that a big problem?
Oh, blimey.
That was the Ting Tings. There's a little abrupt ending there.
Yeah, we weren't ready, were we?
No, I mean, songs with abrupt endings should have a big sticker on them. Sometimes they do, don't they?
No, maybe we should just be a little more on our...
What are you talking about? Blame the other person.
Yeah.
This is BBC Six Music live from Glastonbury, and we're having a lovely time. Shaky's out there. He started his set, Shaking Stevens, with a new number. I mean, what kind
of... I was joking when I said I think it's his new material. It's new material.
It is new material.
I'm sure he's talking about love and... sort of like politics and stuff.
Yeah. Shaky, what's he doing talking about politics?
Don't do that. Just hit him with Green Door and Whoa, Whoa, Julie.
Yeah. But...
that's all they want.
I mean, what do you do if you're an artist like Shaky and you wake up one morning and you think, I've got to do my bit. You know, I've got a political...
I'm not Shaky anymore. I'm solid.
I've got to shake things
I'm
up.
I'm sturdy, Stevens.
Right. And then it all goes wonky and you've got to write some new political songs and no one wants to listen.
Yeah.
Just play Green Door!
He's like, no, I'm angry about stuff.
I'm furious.
I'm furious, Stevens.
I'm going to communicate my message with bad rock and roll. Now, Garth, you've picked a track for us right now, haven't you?
Yeah, well, it's just a bit... I thought that before I came down, the weather report was for high winds. Mm. The media was getting excited by the idea of tents blowing away rather than being sucked away by water.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd choose this one. It's called The Wind, Wind by Cat Stevens.
Ooh. Stevens!
Hello,
that's Cat Stevens.
The beautiful sound of Cat Stevens.
I love that song. That's great. Well, he'd be right at home in one of the mellow fields out here in Glastonbury, wouldn't he?
Yeah, up at the top of the hill, looking out over the world.
We took a walk right through the main drag yesterday, myself and Garth. I was showing Garth the sights for the very first time, a Glastonbury virgin.
I have enjoyed it, I have to say.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
I mean, as you were saying, when you watch it on TV sometimes, I often think, oh, I'm glad I'm not there.
I always think that.
But it is actually...
it's great.
I mean, we say that, of course, from the lovely walls of the big British castle.
No, but once we were out there, it was terrific yesterday.
It was nice, although it was nice to know that we were actually not sleeping in tents at the end of the evening.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of a factor. But still, I mean, there's a good atmosphere out there. I would say that it's people are really digging it out there, and the weather is being decent, you know? It's not... yeah. It's a little
it's gonna
bit of
burn
rain.
Off. I've said it before, but it's all going to burn
it's
off.
It's all going to burn off. Anyway, we took a nice walk and we ended up at the little stone circle, which is a kind of miniature, Stonehenge up there. And there's a campfire and everyone's sitting around. And there's a giant sculpture of like a sort of wooden sculpture of a dragon or something. And we found this guy playing, and his name is Lewis Floyd Henry. And he was just a bloke, and he's like a busker bloke, but he was making a good noise.
But can I just explain? He was doing all this himself, what you're about to hear. He had a little tiny kick drum, a child's kick drum and snare, didn't he?
Yeah, well,
he was operating this with his feet.
I think, well, this is us when we discovered him, so maybe we set the scene. I can't remember.
Dear,
but here we are.
I've talked over it.
Now, we are in the Stone Circle, or very near the Stone Circle, by a large carved wooden dragon.
That is amazing. That is a brilliant dragon.
Yeah. And beneath the dragon is a man who's playing some blues, and he's sat there, he's playing the guitar, and he's got a tiny, like a child's drum kit that he is operating himself with his foot. And he's very good. He's excellent.
He's brilliant.
Let's go and have a listen.
Yeah, come on.
There you go. That's the sound of Lewis Floyd Henry, who we just found busking around in the Stone Circle here at Glastonbury yesterday. And he was great, man. He was like a little one-man White Stripes there.
I was a bit embarrassed about how excited I was on that recording.
Well, it was.
Wow, it's brilliant!
When you're in the zone out there, you sort of get a bit carried away.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed now.
We've discovered a man! But yeah. isn't it exciting?
We found a man!
We've discovered him! We found him! We found him first! He's our man! Because he was a good-looking guy as well, you know?
Yeah, he looked like a little Jimi Hendrix.
He did, yeah. Like a sort of Jimi Hendrix with a little pork pie hat.
Yeah.
No, he's a skinny guy, is what you mean. Yeah. And he was sat there and he was really playing away. And those are all his original compositions, he told me as well, which is impressive. Well done, Lewis! We found him! He's on! Anyway, right now, we're going to play you a little trail. And after that, we're going to be hearing from the Fartellis. They played yesterday here.
Fartellis.
At Glastonbury. We're not actually going to play a live track, or are we?
Yeah,
oh, it is.
Track.
A live bit of Fartellis for you coming up here on Six Music. That's quite all right. You're welcome. That was the Fartellis with Whistle for the Choir. That was live from Glastonbury. They played that yesterday. So technically not live. Live on tape, I believe they call it. And that song threatened to sort of break into Merry Christmas, Everybody by Slade
it's true.
Every now and again.
Yeah.
Here it is, Merry Christmas, you know, which is no bad thing. A couple of short announcements before we go into our next track. I was wandering around yesterday when I was watching Vampire Weekend, and there was a few people there in the crowd who listened to this show, and they said hello. A couple of them said, Stephen! And there was also, I found myself standing right next to this guy who had just made a video for our Video Wars competition. And if you don't know, we are asking you guys to go on to the BBC Six Music website and pick one of two tracks from our Song Wars library to make a video for. It can be any kind of video, as elaborate as you want. If you get your entries in by the end of July, then you'll be eligible to win an amazing prize, which is to come and hang out with us in the
studio. Someone's actually sent one to my office.
Have they?
Yeah. I think they're trying all avenues.
Was it any good?
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, the one, I'd actually watched the one by the guy I was stood next to. How weird is that, right?
That is strange.
Found myself just standing there in this enormous crowd for Vampire Weekend. He said, oh, I just made a video for your Video Wars competition. It's the one with me and my mate. We're dressed in kind of butcher's outfits in the kitchen. It's a really good one. And I'd watched it that morning on YouTube. Bizarre. So anyway, keep your videos coming in. We're really enjoying watching all of them. There's been a fantastic response. And also, I might be singing a few Song Wars songs at a gig I'm doing next Friday at the BFI. This is just a gig of some of my stuff, as well as some guest comedians coming along. So if you do want to come along, check out my website for details. But yeah, it's next Friday, 4th of July at the BFI. Easily remembered.
4th of July, BFI.
So yes, do come along.
It's
called the Out of Focus Group. Are you coming, Garth?
I've already booked my tickets.
Fantastic.
I won't let you down, fella.
Yeah, good one. Now, we are going to be chatting with C6 Steve. He came along and he was a lovely man.
He was brilliant.
Yesterday.
I didn't know what to expect. I knew nothing of C6 Steve.
No, I know very little as well.
Except that name. And it conjures up all kinds of things, but not the guy that walked through the door.
I mean, I've got a nice dad that I'm perfectly happy with, but if anything happened to him, I would be very pleased if C6 Steve would be my dad.
Well, especially when you hear the tales he has to tell.
Yeah, that's coming up, our chat with C6 Steve, which we recorded yesterday shortly. But first, here are the Black Kids with Hurricane Gene. We are sat here in our unbelievably small studio with C6 Steve. Hello, C.
That was like a tongue twister.
I'm nervous because I'm on camera.
Have you ever been on a radio before?
No, very seldom. And I've regretted every single time that I have.
Oh, yes, well, all good.
I should say that Steve, I'm one of the world's worst interviewers.
Oh, good. Then we're going to be doing good.
Excellent, because normally myself and Joe, who I would be presenting the program with if he wasn't ill with shingles, we just sit there and talk to each other, and we just talk nonsense and play records. So to have someone else come into our world...
Oh.
It's thrown you, hasn't it?
It's thrown me a little bit.
Look at it. He's had to put his hat on just to keep it together.
But you're smiley, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah,
so.
I don't. I my foot hurts so bad that I'm happy about everything other than my foot.
Steve, what did you do to your foot?
Do I need to tell you?
Yeah, please, if you don't mind.
I was trying to climb, you know, one of them big cast iron, wrought iron fences with spikes.
I'm very familiar with.
So the top has all the spikes. I went to this recording studio. I drove in, and the gates locked on me. And I got like this phobia about being locked in, having been locked in plenty enough in my life.
Right.
Anyway, they had spikes on the top and spikes in the middle. I said, oh, there's no problem, because I knew the combination. So I go climbing over the fence, and I got almost to the top, and I grabbed onto this bricks that was on the side, and it came off my hand and slid down the fence, and the foot went down and went out on the other spike, and I impaled myself.
Did it go right through?
You could see it pushing through.
Shut the mouth. Are you being serious? Was it seriously poking out the top?
It didn't go through the skin, but it went all the way to the top.
Oh my goodness.
And it like that big. The big spike. The spike was this big, and then one of those like go like that. But it was clean.
Oh.
And yeah, like so that happened like 5 days ago.
None
five
of us.
5 days?
I can't
you should
even
be in hospital.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what are you doing at Glastonbury?
Yeah, I heard it was gonna be mud here.
Yes.
Honestly.
Even nice and muddy.
It would be a depressing coda to the film that's being made about you. We've got a small documentary film crew in here with us. If a year hence, that was it. You got gangrene.
Yep.
End of Seasick Steve, and it all started on that fateful day. And here we are chatting. Oh, I've depressed myself.
But I get to, you know, you sell a lot of records when you pass on. So
that's true. Yeah. This is the master plan, and it sort of fits in a way. It's it's the kind of injury you would expect.
No, not it's not.
Is it not?
I'm not supposed to be climbing over no fences no more. God darn.
Have you played at Glastonbury before?
Yeah, I played here last year, 4 times.
Right.
I heard you've still got the wellies, right, from last year?
Yeah, I found them in the back of the van, because I had none, the van has not, and they got, the mud's still on them. Right. They're covered in mud. I mean, not thick, but just, you know, discolored with the mud. So I need to break them out now if I keep going like this, and so we can get some new mud.
And what kind of stuff are you? I mean, obviously you play your own stuff. Do you ever do any covers in your set?
Nah, not too much. You know, if I'm playing in a bar or something like that, sometimes I'll play like an old Son House tune or, you know, some Fred McDowell, you know, old Delta thing. But one day I realized, you know, if I keep playing other people's songs, also I'm going to be dead, and I won't have ever played my own song. So right. It seemed kind of time to get on the money here.
So you're not tempted by the kind of ironic Glastonbury cover, maybe a Ting Ting's track or something?
Who's they?
Well, that's the question that everybody's asking.
Oh.
Or who's the other one? Hadouken.
No, I'm not too tempted, because I had that. No.
No, good. Quite right, I would say. And who do you go around and see any of the other bands playing when you're at a thing like this?
Last year, you know, I didn't get 50 yards past the back of here.
Yeah.
I tried to go out a few times, you know how the mud was.
Absolutely.
And I would go and then get stuck in the mud, and then people would come up and want to get pictures and autographs, you know, so that was all good. And then I would forget where I had been going.
Yeah.
So then I'd come back and sit back here again and go... And then I get an idea, I'm going to go to the other stage. I'd go out and I'd get like 30 feet, and then everyone would come over, which was real nice, and my boots were coming off in the mud. And so the only thing I ever saw was who was playing on this stage.
Yeah.
But this year I want to see something, but now I can't walk. So.
This is the thing, man. When you're in when you're in the sanctuary of the Big British Castle, the BBC, it's a place you shouldn't leave. It's dangerous out there. That's why the Big British Castle has erected fortified fences around itself and a complicated system of passes, which keeps troublemakers out and keeps us safe and warm inside here.
Yeah. Can I have a job?
Absolutely, you're welcome anytime.
Yeah, I like that restaurant y'all have over there too. I think last year this was the last place that got flooded with mud. I come here Sunday night and there was even mud in that studio where we did the TV show. I thought, oh, if this is mud in here, we know we're in trouble.
We got the best food on the BBC compound.
Oh yeah, this is all good.
Finally, Steve, I just want to ask you, it's sort of all, this is a question I imagine you get asked a lot, but it's all kind of gone crazy in the C6 Steve universe in the last couple of years. Does it feel like that to you, or does it feel like a kind of normal progression of a career? And
oh, no, I feel like it went crazy.
Yeah.
Because, like, one minute there was nothing happening. Yeah, I couldn't get arrested. That's not probably.
And have you changed? Have you become a really obnoxious person now?
I'm trying, but you know, I'm such a nice guy to begin with. I know there's people you can learn from, so I'm going to try to find them.
Has anyone come out of the woodwork in your past and started asking you for money?
No. they probably know I owe so much. No, everyone has been so nice to me. It's just, and I don't know, like in England, you know, the people here have just like I've said it before, but they just like open their arms to me, and it's just little. It's something else, you know. So and everywhere I go up on the street, no one ever comes up to me and go, "Hey, who do you think you are?" You know, they all just so nice. So, I think it's just it's like a miracle.
Well, my theory is that it's because you look like a cross between Father Christmas and Fred Durst.
Who's Fred Durst?
He's the guy from Limp Bizkit.
Roll it, roll it, roll it, roll it, roll.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got a little hip-hop twang to your delivery when you're speaking as well. Do you know what I'm saying? Has that ever been said to you before?
Oh, yeah. All the hip-hop people copying me. You see, that's where it come from. Hip-hop come from.
I could see someone sampling you, though. Do you know what I mean? Or a little collaboration.
Some people have asked me that. I didn't know that. I just heard this from you just now.
Well,
I'm
not insane, am I, Garth?
I agree with that.
The hip hop cadences in there. Do you mind if I say cadences?
I do actually. I don't like you saying
I'll
that.
Never say it again.
Please don't say that.
I'll never
do
it.
Very small.
Is he the English corrector? He corrects you?
Yeah, I like the idea that I'm just here for grammar. No, you can't say
grammar
that.
With Garth.
Yeah, especially not me. I
grammar and
English.
Etiquette. He's the etiquette observer from the BBC. C6 Steve's people have asked if an etiquette observer could stand in for the interview. He gets very easily upset if protocol is breached.
Especially if someone talk bad English, you know. I can't stand that, you know.
Exactly. Well, Steve, thank you so much for coming and chatting to us.
It was my pleasure.
We're honored. It's so nice to meet you. And you know, it's if Joe was here, he would be saying, I'm sure, that it's so nice I'm disastrous at wrapping things up. I'll say that again. So nice to meet you, Steve. Thank you so much for coming to chat to us.
Have a
fantastic time at Glastonbury, and we'll see you soon, I hope.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Cheers.
Take care. Elbow with Forget Myself, and his harmonies on there are sounding very super furry animals, aren't they?
I like that.
I mean, that's a good thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Hey, this is Adam Buxton.
And me, Garth Jennings. See how I'm getting used to that whole throwing it over to me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm sitting in for Joe Cornish, who's still very poorly with the shingles.
He's probably listening, in fact. So.
Oh, yes, he's back now, isn't he?
Hey, Dr. Sexy, how you doing? And maybe, hey, if he's even listening right now, perhaps he could give us a shout or something. Send us a text. I don't know what. What number would he call you? He can text us on 6406.
No, 64046.
Ah, you have to add the extra four. That's clever. So when you say read the number, you mean actually read all the digits of the number out? Oh, now I see. Yeah. Not just random digits.
Just follow my lead, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Don't just
say any old number.
I'm getting tired and confused because I'm at Glastonbury. 64046 is the number for texts. And, of course, don't forget that we have a wealth of picture excitement available on the BBC Six Music website. bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury will take you to all those pictures there. You can see some of our pictures. They may be pictures of the blues guy that we played you earlier on, the sort of busking man.
He's worth looking at, actually. He's a handsome man.
He's a good-looking man.
Good-looking
pictures
guy.
Pictures of Robin Hitchcock and pictures of us just wandering around generally, and many, many other pictures as well that have been taken of some of the main acts, and Jude, our producer, assures us they're extraordinary, so well worth a look. Go and check those out immediately. We'll be playing you a few more chunks from our wanderings yesterday very shortly. But first, here's some more music. Now, this is... Oh, incidentally, I should say thank you so much to C6 Steve, Santa Man. He was lovely, and he came in. And the track we played by C6 Steve was called Things Go Up. And, yeah, man, he hobbled. I mean, you don't want a foot injury at the best of times, but a spike... Not through the bottom of the foot.
And then coming to Glastonbury.
And he was saying later on as well...
It's going
to
go nasty.
That he kept on getting told off by his wife because he'd been jumping the freight trains again.
You've been jumping the freight train, Steve.
I said my wife got real angry with me because I was jumping on the freight trains.
I mean, that's a good thing to get in trouble. If you're going to get in trouble from your wife, then I think it should be for jumping on freight trains.
What was quite funny was that the camera crew filming him, making a documentary about him, were all excited. They're saying, Steve's going to take us on the trains.
Yes,
we're
going to
jump
right.
on the train with Steve.
We're going jumping on the
They don't talk
the
like that,
train.
But it's just, you know, in translation, making it entertaining. I've added a slightly silly voice.
One of them did.
One of them talked like that. Hello, we're making a documentary about C-63. He says we can jump on the freight train with him.
I'm going to take these boys on a train.
That would be great, wouldn't it? I just get in trouble for hogging the remote. But I've got to start jumping on freight trains. Now, here's some more music. This is... I've completely forgotten what this is now. MGMT with Electric Feel. They're so hot right now. MGMT with Electric Feel. They were playing here at Glastonbury yesterday. They're so hot right now. They're attractive. And they're going to be talking to Lauren Laverne on her BBC Six Music show this afternoon from 4. You can hear that. Well worth catching. I wonder if they were well behaved with Laverne, because we were saying last week on the show they can be a little angular as interviewees, apparently.
Yeah, that's the young band thing, though, isn't it?
Exactly. They can behave like Todd's, apparently. But maybe. I imagine that Lauren would have charmed them into submission.
Yeah.
Because she's a genius like that. So you can hear the results of her encounter with MGMT from 4 p.m. this afternoon on Six Music. Right now, here's another little chunk. I think maybe the final little burst of our trip around Glastonbury. And this was in a kind of hippie-ish enclave somewhere in the green fields yesterday. So we're on our way to the Avalon fields right now, and we've come through a very nice kind of upmarket. How would you describe this area?
It's like an upmarket hippie commune.
Exactly, yeah.
Hippies, and I like it because it's all good vibes.
Yeah. Well, you know, this
is... vibes these days.
Of course, there's nothing wrong with vibes. This is exactly the kind of place I was thinking of when I did my festival song, you know, which maybe we'll play in a second. And there's a lot of 4x4s and stuff around here. Yurts. They're a little bit beaten up. It's not particularly swish around here. But there's a lot of yurts and... four-wheel drive cars and nice tents and really nice little mellow areas. And there was... What was the name of that band we just saw over there in the CAF? They were called something like Peace and Unity or something.
Division and Unity.
Division and Unity,
right. Division and Unity. A bit of Hazel O'Connor-esque, I thought.
Yeah, and they were singing about... They were doing some pretty cutting stuff about George Bush there. You know, if I was George Bush and I was wandering through here, I would have to sit down and do some hard thinking.
Seriously,
after listening to a couple of Division and Unity
songs. Yes, I was going to say. Were they accusing him of actually being...
A fundamentalist.
Yes.
And actually being part of Al-Qaeda.
He is actually... their song was saying he's actually Osama Bin Laden.
He is actually Osama.
He's actually him.
Well, that would explain a lot of things.
It's making it so much easier as well.
It certainly would.
At least we know where he is now.
Thank goodness for Division and Unity. CD is on sale currently at Glastonbury. So yeah, it's nice around here. You know, I could spend some time here.
This is great. This is exactly what I was after when I was coming down from my first Glasto experience.
Everywhere smells of wood smoke.
It's really nice, that smell.
Mm.
Makes you feel safe.
Absolutely. And one thing that's caught my eye in this area is a big tent that says magic hat, sauna, and private shower. And it's all sort of closed up. I don't know if this is an area... Well, I guess it's closed up, so he's got the sauna inside. No, yeah, look, I can see through the window.
Naked in there.
There is a naked person inside there. And the windows are kind of frosted. It's like frosted plastic.
I have to tell you, that looks like something from a horror film at the bottom of a killer's car.
It really does.
It's sort of... the way it's put together is a little bit too spooky for me to want to go in there.
Yeah, it looks... I don't know if you've ever seen the film Altered States, but it looks like a metal isolation tank with a kind of canvas tent draped around the sides.
But with these, you can see little naked figures moving about right there.
What kind
Seriously,
of scene? I can see he's a naked man. And what kind of scene is in there in the sauna, though? Yeah. Because it's so muddy around, you would think the sauna would instantly become like a mud pool.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't it?
But maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's like a hot mud sauna. Mud is a beauty-inducing, enhancing thing.
Well,
right?
It's good for you, certainly. It's got many... beatific properties.
If that's the right word. Are we all right? Is everyone still there?
Okay, we better continue our journey to Avalon.
Yeah. Come on, let's go to Avalon.
Very nice. That was the Eels, wasn't it, Garth?
Eels and Last Stop This Town.
That was one of Garth's choices for you folks. You did a video for that, did you not?
That was one of the first things we did where it went really well.
Yeah.
It was a very odd video, because the idea is that the lead singer takes out some of his DNA and injects it into a carrot, mm-hmm. and the carrot slowly becomes a little him.
Post-Jurassic Park, that was it?
I think it might have been, I don't know.
Must have been inspired by...
Maybe it was. There's talking melons, and...
I love talking melons.
Oh, my favourite kind of melon. But, yeah, that was a... And I really like that song, and I love that band, and it was a real... That was one of those great jobs where you get to do what you want, and it works out.
I imagine there'd be a good Glastonbury band, don't you think?
I think they'd be fantastic. I'm sure they must have played before.
They've got many personas, though. Sometimes they go acoustic, sometimes they have, like, a string section,
yeah,
sometimes...
if they were really rocking, they'd kill here.
Yeah.
They'd be brilliant.
They actually kill people.
They really do. They hurt people.
I mean, that's going too far,
well,
I think.
Maybe, but at least it gets a good big reaction.
Exactly. Shall we have a lovely trail?
This is a message from the big British asshole, coming live from the Glastonbury Festival. We're inside a special area with great big walls, so the weirdos and the hoolies can't get through to go to the loo.
Time for another Glastonbury fact. There's the jingle. Did you know that when the festival is on each year,
yeah,
the average IQ of the rest of the UK rises by 36%.
That is phenomenal.
That's true.
That's amazing.
I mean, when I say true, I mean it's not by
you
any
made
means
it up,
true,
right?
Yeah.
But it's good
it's
truth.
It's like the opposite of truth.
That's the kind of truth I like.
Yeah.
Made up truth.
Bad truth.
Bad truth.
That's the Libertines. And Pete Doherty's prowling around somewhere, isn't he? And Amy Winehouse. Oh, my goodness. Whole place is going to go up in flames. This is Adam and Garth here. We're pretty much signing off now.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next weekend, of course, with Dr. Sexy, I hope. And he'll be all well. Don't forget to check out the Glastonbury Gallery at the BBC Six Music website. Stay tuned for Liz Kershaw. Maybe I'll see you on 4th of July at the BFI. Check out my website for details, Adam Buxton, just type in Adam Buxton, you'll find it. Thank you very much indeed for listening, and hope you have a fantastic time if you're still here at Glastonbury. Don't forget to watch the BBC coverage, of course, if you're at home. It's peerless, it's unparalleled throughout the world, apparently. The Big British Castle, you can't beat it with a stick. You can try, but it won't do you any good. We're going to wrap up right now with the Kings of Leon, last night's headliners, and this is Fans. Cheerio!
Glastonbury 2008 on Six Music.
Six Music.